chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 is our text for this morning. Our series has been looking at really Christian standards is what we're looking at. We've looked at various things. We've looked at the fact that we need to use God's Word to guide us in our decisions. If we don't use God's Word to guide us in our decisions, guess what kind of decisions we'll make? Mostly foolish decisions. We do that. Our sin is foolish decisions. Have you consider that? Sin. If I sin, is it smart? Well, I might think to myself, I think what I will do is go and shoot the neighbor's dog. That would be sin. Would that be smart? No. Because the neighbor will either come shoot me or call the police and I'll go to jail. Sin works that way. I remember a number of times talking with kids and have gotten themselves into trouble, fighting, and they were the ones that threw the second punch. And I told them, listen, this is the way it goes. When there's that first punch, it draws everybody's attention, and what do they see? Everybody see the second punch. Our sin of revenge gets us into trouble. When we look at our Christian life, we need to make wise decisions, decisions that are biblical, that are not sinful, and then those things that are not sinful, we have to classify in our own lives. Sometimes we need to put a little bit bigger boundary, not crossing that boundary sin, but protecting ourselves. For example, if you have any inclination to drinking alcohol. Maybe for you, you were saved out of alcoholism, but you still have that temptation. So you make it a rule not to eat at a place that serves alcohol. Thinking, for example, Applebee's, since it's just up the street here. Maybe for you, that is not the right thing to do. So out of wisdom, though it's not sin, you're protecting yourself that way. You need to be careful that you don't then say anybody who goes there is wrong, because they may not be tempted the same way that you are. It is not sin to eat at a place that serves alcohol, which is most places nowadays. And we talked a little bit about alcohol and the life of the believer. We've talked about a number of things to help us grasp hold of what sort of standards ought we to have as people who are striving to live holy as God is holy. That's the goal. The things that I see, maybe it's not sin, but does it draw away from being holy as God is holy? I might have to reconsider if maybe it is sin. Maybe it's not sin per se, but maybe I need to guard myself against it. We look at the Christian life, and we need to look at the scriptures and define the Christian life, the Christian standards that we have as a church, as a believer in obedience to God's word, and personally to help me honor God in everything that I do. I need to prayerfully get it from the scriptures. Our foundation. It's too easy to go off of, well, that's the way it has been. The tradition is, if you're a Baptist, you don't go to the movies and dancing is all sinful. You might remember those days. And remember those heretical days when those were taken out of church covenants? How dare they? Did you know, I learned this week, that the organ is a sinful instrument? Did you know that? You can't think of a church that doesn't have one. It's all sinful. Do you know why I say that? Because it came directly out of the movie theater. That's where it originated. That is the way that Christians many times have determined their freedoms in Christ and their standards. Some have said, look, there's nothing wrong with an organ. It's a piece of equipment that makes noise. Depending who's playing it, if I'm playing it, it's just noise. If it's Mrs. Andrews, then it's beautiful music. That's all it is. To have one is not sin. We could do that with a drum set. Do you know that? Guitars, electric guitars. You look at the scriptures, tells you to praise the Lord on the high-sounding cymbals. But we know that's sin. Why do we know that's sin? Because that comes out of the rock and roll generation, and whatever they do is wrong. Therefore, it must be wrong even to dance, because we know all dancing is sinful. Not according to Psalm 150, which commands you to dance. My point is this. We have to be careful that we're being biblical. We're thinking biblically about what we do. We need to make wise decisions in our freedoms in Christ and in our standards in Christ. One of those standards that we have is our words. Your words, the tastiness of your words. You see up here the scriptures, pleasant words are like from a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So Proverbs 16:24. It's Wilfred Funk, a noted lexicographer and a dictionary publisher, that suggested the 10 most impressive words. 10 most impressive words. The first one is Sean. No, I'm just kidding. The bitterest word is alone. Alone. Think of that word. That is a bitter word, isn't it? The most reverent word, mother. The most tragic word, death. The greatest comfort, faith. The saddest word, forgotten. The most beautiful word, love. The cruelest word, revenge. The warmest, friendship. The coldest, no. The most peaceful, tranquility. You hear it in there, the meaning of those words? Do you hear the power of those words? In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. We see that the word that we speak is very powerful. Whether it is what we say that comes out of our mouth, or it's how we say it. We can go up to somebody and we can say some words that are very nasty. Some words that they may not like. Stop it. They don't like that, do they? Don't. It can be instructive. Don't put your fingers in the light socket. Or it could be mean. Don't eat my cookies. I don't love you. Those are mean, aren't they? What do you say, and how do you say it? How we say things makes a big difference, as well as what we say. What should we say? Why look at the scriptures? God has given me instruction for faith and life. What is it that honors God? Now, in your Bible, you see there, I've got the New King James again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let me tell you what that literally says. That literally says, every rotten word ought not to go out of your mouth. Every rotten word ought not to go out of your mouth. The word there, we have corrupt communication. That's a kind of a nice coding to it. The word is used for grapes, rotten grapes. If it helps you, think about the last time you opened up the refrigerator door And guess what you saw hidden in the bottom back of the fridge? That tuna fish sandwich that you made, ate half of, and you sat back there 3 months ago. And now it's turned a pretty color of green. And it's furry. You could pet it. There is no way on this green earth that you would take that sandwich. I've been looking for that and take a big bite of it, would you? It's rotten. And when you use words that don't honor God, they are rotten. Rotten words, they destroy, they break down, they hurt, they harm, they're unkind, they're complaining, arguing, insulting, disrespectful, unloving. In fact, it may describe, this one might hurt, it may describe what you said to somebody in the house before you came to church this morning. Are you ready yet? What has taken so long? Come on, hurry up. We have to go to church because we got to learn about the love of Jesus. Were those words in your mouth today? The way that you talk to your parents? The way that you talk to your brothers or sisters? The way that you talk to your children, maybe in your own mind, the way you're talking about pastor, complaining, wish he put some powder or something on his head, didn't glare so bad. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. The fool pours out foolishness. Back in 15:1, harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Proverbs chapter 18. Verses 7 and 8, the fool's mouth is his destruction, and the lips are a snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down to the innermost body. The words of a fool is destruction. You've seen that because you've played the fool at some point. Maybe you did so at work this week. Maybe you did so at home. Maybe you did so at school. Maybe whatever you did. You said something you regretted. We've all done it, haven't we? And it hurts. It hurts the other person, and eventually it hurts us as well. It hurts our character. Maybe it comes back to hurt and destroy not only them, but who we are. The things that you say, we need to be very careful of. I want you to know that every word counts. In the scriptures here, it says, let no corrupt communication. And literally, as it's written, it says every rotten word. It's inclusive of everything that you say. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 37 to 35, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make its tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. What kind of tree are you? He's not done yet. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You can't. You might say flattering words, but your heart and your intention is still evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Think about the things that you say, the swear words that you use. Think about the things that you say, the way you misuse very disrespectfully God's name. Think about the things that you have said to hurt other people, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Where does that come from? It comes from your heart. If you want a window to a person's heart, even though the eyes are the window of the soul, the mouth is the window of the heart. How do they appear from their mouth? It doesn't mean you look inside their mouth and tell them to say, aw, but you listen to them. You listen to somebody, you can tell what kind of person they are. Are they educated by the big words they use? Or by their articulation of words? Are they lazy? The way they mumble the words together. Are they type of person that's organized? Their thoughts are, as they expressed, organized. You get to know a little bit about them, their personality. Not necessarily bad or good. When evil comes out of our mouth, it's a window into our heart. A good man speaks out of the good treasure in his heart and brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word, every meaningless word, every careless word, every single A-E-I-O-U, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. To call out on the Lord Jesus with faith, the heart, one believes unto salvation with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Lord Jesus, save me. We know that every word counts. We need to consider this. He says here, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't let it pop out. It may be here, and if it's here, you catch it in the net, and you change it, first by changing your heart, and then let it come out. Instead of complaining, boy, Pastor sure was long-winded this morning, you say to yourself, wait a minute, what did I learn? What did I learn? Well, I'm glad I learned that this morning. You change your heart and your attitude, then your words that come out to the hearer will be gracious as opposed to one that tears down them or somebody else or makes you look bad. As Christians, as people who place their faith in Jesus Christ, we need to have a standard in our life. One of the standards in our home that is practiced 99% of the time is that shut up is a bad word. Is it a bad word? No, not really. It's not. Is it a kind word? No, not really. So we treat it as a bad word. It's a standard we have in our home, in our personal lives. So we make a point to be careful what we say when it comes to those words. Why? We want to honor God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Much better translation, more exact translation, is in the second part here, but let me take it from the Greek. But if any good word towards needed building, so that it may give grace to the hearers. No word a little awkward there. Speak needed good words. Speak needed good words. We need to speak no rotten word. We need to speak needed good words. Good words build up. They help build a person up. They help a person feel good about themselves. We want to give glory to God then it's not all about helping somebody feel good about themselves. It's not about just saying only nice things or things that's never negative. Did you know negative things can build a person up as well? Not when you go up to them and beat them up verbally, right? But when you come up to them and say, hey, that was good, but it might be better if you did this. Do you understand that? Or, I really appreciate the fact that you're home, but I think it would be better if when you came home, you didn't bark at everyone. Did you see how he did that? That was something bad and negative that you say, wasn't it? You said something negative. You told him not to do something. How dare you say no to somebody? But how did you do it? And what's it going to do for them? They might feel a little bad at first for what they did, but you'll build them up because you'll make them a better person, because they'll come in with a better mood. They'll come in and feel better. It's not just about feeling better, but be better for God, which in turn makes us feel better. Now, I'm putting a de-emphasis on feelings just because we're in a touchy-feely world where we do everything because it feels good and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and we do need to be sensitive to those things, but at the same time, we're not here just to make everyone feel good. We're here to do what God says we're to do what is right. That's why I have a little de-emphasis on that. But that doesn't mean we don't help other people feel good about what they're doing. To encourage them, come alongside. For those of you that are, at least read your scriptures, maybe you're not following along reading the New Testament in 3 months. Nothing wrong with that. The goal is just to get you in the habit of reading your Bible every day and with certain goals. And with this one is to read through the whole New Testament, again, really, but to learn more about Christ, to more soak it up more. And so that's why we're doing that. For those of you that are reading God's Word daily, I got something to say to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. You see it working in your life, and you know its power. It seems so strange, doesn't it? But you don't understand the power of the tongue or the written word. To be able to read the scriptures and get the instruction for that day, or the encouragement for that day from God, or just the fact that, hey, you spent time with God. You come, you try this. I don't recommend you try it, but if you're really risky and want to try it, you can. For the next week, when you come home from work, don't say a thing to anybody else in the house. You see how well your relationship goes. Don't acknowledge them. Don't talk to them. Don't look at them. By the end of the week, you'll be near divorce, won't you? Is that the way you treat God? You speak to Him once a week? The good words that we encourage with each other, that we get from God, all of that, guess what? It builds. It builds you up, it builds the other person up. We need to be in the habit. I know in my own life, I need to be better at encouraging people. Saying the simple, good morning, thank you, please. Being good at coming alongside and encouraging you. I hope that it's just not my words, but it's God's words that do it through me. We need to use those good words which build up. They have to be honest words and kind words as well. And they're necessary. They're necessary to bestow grace. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, it says, a man has joy by the answers of his mouth. A word spoken at the SRV, just the right time, how good it is. You know those days that you've had a bad day, when someone has come up to you, put the arm around you and say, "Hey, I'm here for you. Hi, how can I help you? I'm glad you're here." Just a simple word, and what does it do? It lifts your spirits, doesn't it? The day is not quite as dark and gloomy. Someone comes up and says, "I'm praying for you." Or I ask you, "How can I pray for you?" You know that. And because you know that sometimes it's just the right moment when you need it. That's good words. You bestowed grace upon the hearer of it. Proverbs 16:24, we saw to begin with, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Sometimes, when we speak though, we do everything we can, and it's not the speaker that's the problem, it's the hearer that's the problem. I want to give you this warning as well. As you hear somebody speak to you, don't automatically take what they say and be offended by it. It's not hard. Stop reading into what everybody says. "Oh, that's a nice shirt you're wearing." Do you know what he's really saying? He thinks this shirt is stupid. He's mocking me. He thinks that I can't dress myself. He's thinking I'm too cheap or I'm poor and I'm no good. He doesn't like my shirt. He's a jerk. How many times have you actually, though, heard somebody say something and taken it wrong? We all have, if we're honest. We've read into what somebody says or does and turned it out instead of being a blessing what it tended to be, let it be something that destroys us. Be careful as a hearer of God's word. We need to make sure that we recognize that we are to speak no rotten words, none whatsoever. The rotten words, they do nothing but destroy. They don't build up, they tear down. And because of that, we need to make sure there's no rotten words coming out of our mouth. There may be things that we say that aren't fun to say, but the intention of it ought not to be to tear down, but to build up, to encourage, to bestow grace, to help, not hinder. We need also to make sure that we're speaking the good words that encourage. Listen to James chapter 3. He says, "Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. A spring send forth fresh water and bitter water out of the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring can yield both salt water or fresh water." And the implication here is, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is a blessing and bestows grace to others. People ought to know that we are Christians by our words. We can figure somebody's intelligence, maybe the place of kind of work they do, maybe their education, maybe their concern of being accurate. We might be able to discern that by the things they say, the words they use, and the way they say them. As other people look at you, you knowing that you're accountable for every single word that comes out of your mouth, and knowing that it ultimately comes from your heart, are you portraying yourself as a person who loves the Lord? Or are you portraying a picture of somebody who is godless? We need to have high standards for ourselves. They may not be the exact standards that a fellow believer is going to have, but it all should come down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. No rotten words coming out of our mouth, but that which is needful for building others up and pouring grace upon the hearers. If you're here and you can take evaluation of your heart and you see the things that come out of your heart by the way you say them, your attitude, or by the things that you say, and you know that things aren't right, guess what you need to do? Don't worry about this piece up here, because it comes from this piece down here. Get your heart right with God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, accept Him as your Savior. If you know Him as your Savior, hey, remember He's your Lord. And put away the bad communication and put on the good communication. Father, I ask that You would help us that we may not be like these imaginary springs that would bring up both fresh water and bitter water. Even as the springs of this earth can only bring up fresh water, may the only thing that proceeds out of our mouth be that which is refreshing to those who hear us. Help us be encouraging. Lord, not only help us be encouraging, help us that we will be on guard, knowing that the words that come out of our mouth can be rotten, can be destructive. And Father, while that at times may make us feel better as we choose somebody out for something, in the end we know it makes us look bad, it tears the other person down, and ultimately it's a poor representation of who You are and makes You look bad. Father, we know that it is You who changes our heart, so help us rely on You and Your Spirit, that we may have hearts that are full of joy, hearts full of grace, that we may encourage one another for Your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.